The Boldness of Betty, written by Anna Carey and read by Eva Jane Gaffney. I thought I'd begin these memoirs by writing down my name and where I live and how many brothers and sisters I have. One too many, if you ask me. But right now, I'm so annoyed, I'm just going to write down what happened a few minutes ago. I was sitting down at the table with this new notebook and a bit of old pencil that Ma had left behind the kitchen clock, getting ready to write down all these fascinating facts, when who should come into the kitchen but my stupid big brother, Eddie.
"Is that the notebook Dad got for you?"
he said, because our dad had come home from the docks yesterday with a big notebook full of empty blank pages that had been found on the quay after they'd unloaded a load of crates that morning. It really had fallen out somewhere, and the cover was all damp, so the foreman said he could take it, just in case you were thinking that was another way of saying he'd pinched it. Dad's the most honest person in the world. Besides, you'd lose your job down the docks if you tried any of that thieving business, so you'd have to be pretty stupid to try nicking anything. And Dad isn't stupid. Dad gave the notebook to me after tea last night. He knew that I was going to miss having something to scribble on now I've left school. I hoped Eddie would leave me alone if I answered his question. "It is, yeah," I said. And then I looked back at the page because I was trying to think of the most dramatic way to introduce myself. Eddie, being Eddie, didn't take the hint.
"What are you writing in it?"
he said in a smirking sort of voice, as if the idea of anyone writing anything down was utterly ridiculous. "My memoirs," I said, without looking up from the blank page. Eddie stared at me as if I was talking Russian.
"What's a memoir when it's at home?"
he said. You can tell he's never set foot in Charleville Mall Library, even though it's only down the road. He does not have a good vocabulary, mostly because he barely listens to a word anyone else says. I, on the other hand, have an excellent vocabulary, as you will discover in these memoirs. "It's when you write about yourself," I said. "Like the story of your life." And of course, Eddie, the big stupid lump, laughed as if this was the funniest thing he'd ever heard. When he could finally speak, he said,
"I'm fairly sure no one is going to want to read the story of your life."
He put on a stupid high-pitched voice. "I went to the library, then I came home, then I took me stupid-looking dog for a walk, then I went to bed." He went back to his usual voice.
"Very exciting, I don't think."
And he laughed again at his own wit. "Well, maybe I'll be rich and famous by the time it comes out," I said, ignoring his mockery. "Then lots of people will want to read about my early years." Eddie ruffled my hair in that annoying way he has and said,
"If you say so, kiddie,"
in a very condescending way. That's another word I learned from the books in the library. Then he wandered off to the front room, which is where he sleeps on the sofa, to draw the curtains and change out of his work uniform. He works for the tram company in their parcel delivery department. I can hear him singing from my spot here in the kitchen. There's never any peace around here, even though Dad's still out at work and Ma's down the road having tea with Mrs. Connolly, so technically I have the kitchen all to myself.